My, my. Found out I couldn't do it on my own. Emotion wasn't going to take care of it. Effort, going to church, all my religious acts, nothing is going to take care of it. But the Word does. The Word will take care of it. And He makes it personal. He gives you the specific word for your situation every time that you write on time. And when you just anchor yourself on that word, just watch God move. Amen. Amen. It's a good atmosphere in here tonight. Amen. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we're grateful that we can come here tonight. Father, to gather with believers, it's getting cold outside, but Lord, you gave us a warm, clean, nice place here to have church where we can be comfortable, Lord. And we know we are so blessed with just these natural blessings you give us, Lord, and yet it means so much to us, Lord Jesus, because it makes it just that much easier, Father, to serve you. And so we thank you so much. We just appreciate it. And Lord, now we ask that you would meet our spiritual needs tonight. Lord, just come and just the word, Lord, that we are learning to depend on the word, Lord. Just let the word come and meet our needs, Father, and set us free. And Lord, to encourage us, to give us strength, Lord, to defeat the devil however he's attacking us, Lord. We ask for the ones who aren't feeling well. There's a lot of sicknesses and disease and things going on this time of the year, Lord. The weather changing and getting into the holidays. We're eating a lot of food. A lot of it's not good for us, Lord. We just ask that you have mercy on us anyways and just heal us, Lord. And just remember Brother Todd's dad and watch out for him, Lord Jesus. Just take care of him, heal him, Lord. We ask these things in your name. Just meet our needs, Lord, as we have needed. We'll give you the honor and glory. Amen. I don't know if Brother Nate announced it a minute ago when he came out here. New Year's, we're going to have service, going to be, I just totally can't talk right now. Thank you, so appreciate it. We're going to have communion and foot washing on New Year's evening. It's a Thursday night. It's New Year's Eve. I'm actually going to be in Indiana. They asked me to come up there for that night to do a watch night service, so I won't be here, but you guys are going to have a wonderful time here. Hopefully we do also in Indiana, so that's something to look forward to coming up. Amen. Let's get started. Let's turn in your Bible to Luke 21. I'm going to read two verses there. Be seated. Luke 21. I want to pick up where the same thought we were speaking on Sunday about your purpose, the purpose we have in life. And tonight, we want to look at specifically the thought of meeting the challenge for today. Meeting the challenge of this end time. Luke 21, verse 25. And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. The powers of heaven shall be shaken. You may be seated. So, we want to look at this tonight. What are we talking about to meet the challenge of today? Every day that comes along, there is a challenge in that day that the believers for that day are required to meet the challenge. You look at David, all right? Let's go back a little further. Let's go to Moses. There is a challenge. God had to get the children of Israel out of Egypt and back to the homeland because that was the word for their day. That was the promise. And so God had to raise up someone to meet the challenge, to go down and stand before Pharaoh and say, let my people go. All right? And then there had to be people who believed the messenger for that day and followed the word for that day. That's the way it is in every day. David comes along. He's walking down, and he goes down to see his brothers. They're at war with the Philistines, and the giant comes out, Goliath, and he starts making his challenge. And all the people, the Israelite army, they're scared to death because here's this huge giant, this bigger man than everybody, Saul, who was the biggest man in the army, and all these other people, they say, we don't want to go out there. We don't want to fight. I don't know what we're going to do. And David come along, and something inside of him rose up. It's called faith, and he met the challenge of the day, all right? And that's the same way God does in every day is he sends the challenge comes from the devil, and God raises up a standard. He raises up people who will meet the challenge of that day. So let's look at a few things here just where we were at. Let's bring this down to today. In Easter Seal 65, Brother Branham says, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. They are eating, drinking, marrying, giving in marriage. Sounds like today, doesn't it? And as it was in the days of Lot, so will it be in the hour that the Son of Man will be revealed on earth. Not Son of God no more, Son of Man come back as a prophetic message for the last day when that eagle will be flying, not the lion, not the ox in the sacrifice age. See, every time a religious power went forth to meet the challenge of the political power of the world. When the lion raised up the religious power, it went to meet the Roman power. When it came the sacrifice hour, the ox went because he's a sacrifice beast to the Lord. Then come the reformers down through the church ages, came the face of a man, and then reformers have been since. Luther, Wesley, Calvin, on down, Pentecostal age. We know all this. This is just rehearsing what we know went down through the church ages. But what Satan would come up with the power, God would go to meet it. Remember that the horse rider, the four horses, the white horse, red horse, black, and pale horse, they came out there. That was Satan riding to make war against the church, to make war against God's people, and God would always raise a spirit against it to combat it, right? He said, in the last message that went forth, there came a flying eagle. He said, now it's eagle time, reveal time. The word of God made manifest, the word of God proved. That's what has to happen today. The eagle, the way we meet the challenge today is it's got to be the revealed word, the manifested word, the word of God being proved. Now, down through the church ages, there's a time when they did the sacrifice, the ox, the man came along, and they would use the intellect of man, the reformers came out, and they would defeat it by using intellect of man. But this age, that's not a good enough anymore. Brother Branham preached so much against education as being the way to overcome it, as what we need today, because that was good back in the day. That was good in the time of Luther and Wesley and all that. That was all they needed, but today it won't work anymore because Satan's got us past that. It's too deceiving. If you only rely on your intellect and your ability to study, Satan will deceive you. It's the most deceptive age because Satan has gone beyond just having a discourse. He has taken the power of the Holy Spirit and using it against you. Yes, he does. He deceives it through having false anointed ones. Every time I think of this, I think, what if Brother Branham had not preached false anointed ones? We would be the most deceived people. Everyone else would, because you would think that is the genuine Holy Spirit, and it is. And it's preaching some cockamamie doctrine. Not the spirit, but the vessel is. But it can perform miracles. Let me just say something that get me in trouble, but that's all right. I don't know if you heard about it, but recently at the church in Jeffersonville, Branham Tabernacle, which they don't have it in the tabernacle anymore, like I told you, they have it at a gymnasium, a man died. And they prayed for him. He came back to life during their service. How'd that happen? Because they have 800 some people. There was so much faith expectation that there's faith there to do anything. They're still off the word, folks. They still are off the word. I don't care what kind of miracles they can perform. That's not the test. That ain't it. But how are you going to tell them they're off? Think about it. Brother Paul falls over dead right now. Don't do that. But Brother Jerry comes up, lays his hands on him, prays for him, he comes back to life. What a vindication. And yet that in itself doesn't prove anything. It's beyond that. You go back, that was the first and second pull. That is a minor. Divine healing is a minor, brother and sister. It isn't what we major on. It's the manifestation of the word. What did he say? He said, eagle time, reveal time, the word of God made manifest, the word of God proved. That's the major. That's what it is right there, brother and sister. You must see the word actually living itself out before you know if you're being deceived or not. Anything else can be a deception. He said, oh, children, walk in the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Come in and believe it with all your heart. God will fill you. That's the way to do it. So let's turn to John. Let me just keep going here. John 17, we read out of this a little bit Sunday. We're going to read a little bit more. It's John 17, and let's go to verse 20. Jesus is praying. He said, "Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their words, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they may also be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me." He said, why does he want to show it that they are one with him? Because then it shows the world that this is true. It's the proving of the word. "That they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one." Remember when he gave them the glory? When did God give Jesus glory? What is he talking about? Well, first of all, it happened way back there in the creation. But here he's talking about when it was after he came out of Jordan, after the baptism, the Holy Spirit came down. That was the same glory that was the Logos out there creating. There it came down into Jesus right there. He said, "This is the Son in whom I am pleased to dwell in." And this is the same glory he puts in you. It is. You don't believe that? Of course you do. Do you really believe that? The same Holy Spirit that indwelled Jesus Christ is the one that indwells you. My. Consider that and then ask again, what are you afraid of? What is it, brother and sister? Because that's the battle we face. Men's hearts failing for fear. That's what we have to know. The challenge of this age, people are going crazy because of the fear on earth. And don't think we're immune to it. "Well, I'm a Christian. I'm going to fear anything." You better fear that lying spirit you got on you. That's just wrong. You know you've got fear. We all do. This old flesh fears. Paul feared. He said so. Brother Brandon had fears. It's what we battle, brother and sister. It's part of being human. But what did he say? Perfect love casts out fear. So what do we need? We need more love. We just need to keep getting more love. And how do you get to love? How do you get more love? Revelation. The word being made manifest. You realizing who you are. So Jesus, this is way God, Jesus gave us to overcome. Let me read something here. He said, "The Midianites and Amorites and so forth had all come over and eat up their land." Talking about Israel. "The enemy had challenged and he must be met. Their armies couldn't do it. Their priests couldn't do it. Their churches couldn't do it. So it took the word of God to meet his challenge." It's always that way, brother and sister. And he goes on. Let me just skip some just to save a little time. He said, "The only way we can meet the challenge of the day when the denominations call the people away, put them in organizations, let the women cut the hair and wear makeup, and men live all kinds of lives, and pastor in the church because they got some PhD or LLD is the equal requirement." Jesus never did require a man to do that. Jesus' requirement was, wait in the city of Jerusalem until you're endued with power from on high, then you are a witness to me. That meets the challenge. That meets the enemy's challenge. That met it in that day. It'll meet it in this day. So the only way, brother and sister, to meet the challenge, he said, it's the word of God. And what it has to do is it has to be living in you. Because to meet the challenge means that you overcome it. All right? Now, you might go up and fight the devil, and you might fight him face to face for years and years before you finally overcome it. But at least you're still meeting him instead of getting kicked around. And if you did get kicked around, you get back up and you meet them again. You fight them until you overcome. You have to do this, brothers and sisters. You have to meet it, and you have to have the word to do it. Like I said earlier, your emotions ain't going to do it. Your ability isn't going to do it. Your intellect isn't going to do it. How much you know about the message isn't going to do it. How much you talked to the prophet or you did this or whatever, or how well, all these things ain't going to do it. It's the word manifest. That's the only thing. Amen. So we see the horse riders. We're in the pale horse ride. Do you believe the pale horse is riding now? All three of the white, the red, and the black all combined together in one power. And to meet that is an eagle anointing. the revelation of the word. It's the only thing that you're going to work today, brothers and sisters. We have to have that. Satan comes against us in so many ways. Let's read a few more scriptures here before we get to this. Let's turn to 1 Timothy 4, verse 1. Just to lay out some of the things we have to face in our life today. The things we must overcome in the last day. 1 Timothy 4, verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times, these are the latter times, some shall depart from the faith. Why? Giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Now, the seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, brother and sister, does not mean they're out there in some devil cult worshiping something. That means they are in church. Seducing spirits and doctrines of devils that are being preached to them over the pulpit. That's why. Why? Because seducing has to come through religion. You're not going to be seduced by, well, let's just believe in Satan. Now we're going to worship Satan. Hopefully that doesn't seduce you. It's going to be something that's coming through the message, so to speak, or so called. It has to be. It's not seducing if it's not. Seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Can we just be plain? What are these doctrines of devils? Well, look at this stuff that goes around the message. I'll tell you, one of the best doctrines seducing spirits there is don't listen to ministers. That is a doctrine of devils, brother and sister, that shuts the very mouthpiece God has to give you the word to stand against the devil today, to meet the challenge. It comes through the ministry. You take the voice out of the ministry, you take the voice out of the bride. You have a mute bride if you don't have a ministry. Speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Forbidding to marry, commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. Turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. So we know it's going to be perilous. Why? Because it's deceptive. He said, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. This is perilous. Lovers of our own selves. What does that mean? It's all about me. Pastor, you better not get on my case. You better leave me alone. They're lovers of themselves. That's not talking about the real self. Now, see, you need to love yourself. Who? The real self, the part of you that's God. There's a part of you that you need to love. It's called God. But there's a part of you he's talking about, the lover of self, is this old flesh, my old fleshly desires. Don't you get on that, brother. You leave me alone. Lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. Brother Branham said, where it goes and says, having a form of godliness, denying the power thereof. He says, those are church members. They're not communists. These are Christians, so-called. These people are the people we go to church with. Not, I hope we don't go to church with here, but these are the people who go to church and call themselves Christian. And we could take time and go look at all these, and we could see that's exactly the way people are acting. Why? It's the spirit of the age. I have rights. It's all about me. Don't you hurt my feelings. But then he says what? What's the challenge? When you see this among people, what's the challenge? He said, from such turn away. There's the challenge, because these are our family members. These go to church with us. This means we should shun them, right? Of course not. We don't shun people like that. There are people we shun. You know who they are? The ones who turn out from under the blood. There's no reason to shun anyone else unless you know they're just going to affect you in a bad way. Stay away from them. They push your buttons. Don't go around them. Until you get that button unhinged or unplugged or whatever. So they can't affect you. You do crazy stuff. Turn away from them. What's that mean? Don't be affected by them. Stay back. For such are they that creep into houses and lead captive silly women laid with sins, led away with divers lusts, forever learning, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Ever learning, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. What are we doing with constant? Brother Branham said this, Brother Branham said this, and we listen to tape after tape after tape. But what's the knowledge of the truth? It's when it's revealed. It's when it actually happens. It's when it becomes more than just something in your mind. It drops in your heart and produces Christ, the word for your day. Turn one more place with me. 2 Peter 3. All these, talking about the last days, the battles, the challenge in the last day. 2 Peter 3 and verse 2. Verse 2, we'll start there. Let's go to verse 3. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? What's that saying? We've heard about the second coming of the Lord for years, and the message believers, that had to happen in 77, that had to happen in 84, and there's no way we're going to get to 2000. Right. A couple of weeks, what year is it going to be? 2016, right? Impossible! Not with my understanding of the message. If we get past 2000, Brother Branham was wrong. Well, according to your idea, he was. But what? That makes you wrong, not him. Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. You get around a lot of people anymore, and they talk about the coming of the Lord and the second coming, all that. It's just like, you know what? Year 1000, when the new millennia came in, people were saying it's going to happen then. But they were. They thought it could not get to the year 1000. That's when the Lord was going to come back. 2000, it was going to happen now. Here we are. Have you lost faith? Are you scoffing? Are you wondering, is it really going to happen? Time just keeps going on and on and on. My brother Jim and I were talking. This says it's going to stop. So you decide. How do you face these, brothers? This is the challenge. There's so much unbelief. There's so much proof that this isn't true. There's so much proof that the message is wrong. We've seen it, you know. Very, very big name, I hate to use that word, but prominent preachers around the message, leaving the message. Why? Because they prove that the message is wrong. People leaving it because they're proving this message is wrong. One of the challenges today is because we do have it so easy. And when we came in here, this is a nice, comfortable place. I walked in a little bit after 6, and it was warm. The heat was on. I said, I appreciate Brother Jim. Nice place to come to church. It's clean. It's something I get on the internet. They send me about every few weeks updates on Christians around the world. And they are being killed and tortured right now for their denominational belief in Christ. If it was happening here, we would think we were in the tribulation. But it's happening there. We have it really good right now, brother and sister. There's missionaries going over to the Muslim countries and leading people to Christ. You say, well, they're denominations. I think God has a place for someone who will die for him. I think it's, yeah. But we have it so easy. If you don't want to pray this week, don't worry about it. If someone might shoot you when you walk out your door, do you think you'd pray before you walked out the door? If there might be a crowd of Muslims outside burning the church down while we're inside. You think we could pray? I'm not saying this to chasten us or say, you know, oh, we're so... No, I'm saying this is just what we, the battle we face, brother and sister. Because when you are facing persecution, it's a lot easier to pray. That's when the church grows, is during persecution. If persecution started hitting around here, this church would grow. It would. But you know, the ones who are the real believers are here right now, who are facing the challenge right now. Because in spite of the soft living, we're still going through it anyways. We're still fighting the battle. Talking about when David went up there to fight Goliath, he looked around, he saw all these people. He said, because they seen the opposition so great, they were afraid to meet the challenge of the boasting Goliath of the Philistines. They're afraid to meet it. They came a stoop-shouldered, ruddy little fellow. Talking about David, he came up and he looked around, and I'm just trying to save time, and I'm not saving time because I'm stumbling around. He said, while he was milling around hunting his brothers, the Philistine walked out and made his boast, said, choose you a man and come over here and fight me. We won't have any bloodshed between the nations. He said, of course, that's the way the enemy likes to brag when he thinks he got the edge on you. He said, bring him over here, then we'll choose and we'll fight. If I kill him, you serve us. If he kills me, we'll serve you. And I read that and I thought, that's just the way the devil does now. When there's trouble going on, something bad happens. What happens? Everyone's got an opinion. Everyone starts flapping their jaws. Well, if they do this, well, I knew something bad was going to happen. Well, I told you there was something not good. Well, this is going to happen and whatever. And as soon as something goes wrong, everyone can tell. Everyone, well, you should have been doing this. You should have been doing that. This is why this happened. This is why that happened. Satan just loved to flap his jaws as soon as he thinks he's got you beat down. That's just something else. It's the challenge we face, brothers. All these things I'm trying to point out is this is the battle we face when people are flapping their jaws. It's recognized. They think they got some over on you. They think they got a little proof. They say, well, if God was with them, that wouldn't have happened. If God was with them, that wouldn't have happened. It's just a Goliath. It's just another Goliath running his mouth. How do you defeat that? Just stay with the word. Let me keep going here. Samson said, he talking about Samson, he knew that his backslidden strength, though there it all stood, the great regime that he ever was, he stood there. But his backslidden strength would not meet the challenge of the hour. And the church knows that too. The evangelists knew that. He's talking about when Billy Graham, a Muslim came up to Billy Graham and said, you know, if this is true, what you do, why don't you produce what your Bible says. And Billy Graham backed down. He said the evangelists knew that when that Mohammedan challenged him. Your intellectual strength won't meet the challenge of the hour. Because the devil is loose among us with powers that nothing can dare to challenge but the Spirit of Almighty God. And then he says, and this is the key to this whole thing, when this word's made flesh. Let me read that again. The devil is loose among us with powers that nothing can dare to challenge but the Spirit of Almighty God when this word's made flesh. So you say, well, we got the Spirit. Brother and sister, the word has to be made flesh to withstand the devil today. Why? Because you have to know who you are without a shadow of a doubt. You have to see the word in you being manifest. You have to know that you know who you are. Because otherwise he will bring doubt against you and knock you down. He'll bring doubt and fear, and you're going to be defeated. That's what faith is, brothers and sisters. It's the revelation. It's God in you, and you see who you are. And you look around at your brother and sister, and you see Christ here, and you see Christ here. That's the way you're going to know, brother and sister. How are you going to have perfect faith for a rapture? That's your challenge for today. You think you're going to have rapturing faith if you have doubt? I wonder if I really am. I wonder if I really am born again. I wonder this. I wonder. You can't have that, brother and sister. And how do you get rid of all that doubt? Is recognizing the word growing in you more and more. And the more you grow, the more you recognize who you are. He said, I know who I am. Yes, but there's doubts and fears in us that had to be gotten out of the way. It's got to be perfect, mature faith. And that comes, you have to have perfect, mature love for God. It all goes together, brother and sister. You got to have it. How are you going to get it? By doing what you're doing. You just keep going and the word's going to preach it into you. If you keep accepting it. He said, our backslidden state now will not meet the challenge of the hour. Yet all the big frames there, there's more Pentecostals in the world today. I'm going to put that message believers in the world today than there ever was that we know of more message believers. Look, he said backslidden state. Now, when he says backslidden state, he's not talking about that we're all out there drinking and smoking and running around and, oh, the churches, you know, we got all that covered. So, you know, I mean, our sisters aren't cutting their hair. We're not going to think it's okay to smoke and all these kind of things. So we're not in that backslidden state. Go to any message church almost, you're going to see really holy looking people. You go up to them and say, you been out hanging out at the bar? No. You been doing drugs? No. You been running around on your wife? No. You're backslid anyways. I ain't backslid. I'm living a good holy life. That's not what he's talking about here, brother and sister. The backslidden state is because we are not manifesting the word for this day. It's not having the effect. The power of God is not having the effect to make this word happen in the average message believer. That's why they're backslid, brother and sister. Because they are not walking all the way with the word. They have dropped back. They have taken another step. They are sitting down beside the way. They're not going on forward with it. Why? Because the preachers aren't getting them there. And why aren't the preachers getting there? Because they won't sit and listen to them. They could go find another preacher who keeps them comfortable. That's the backslidden state most message believers are in. They're not going on with the word. They're just educating themselves on what the prophet said. He said, now the frame is there, but we don't have the power we had when we were a handful. There it is. What power? Not just first and second pull. Third pull. The word manifesting, the word, you know, the opening of the word, we call it. And that's what it is. It has to be opened first by the preaching, but then that preaching of the word has to open it in people's lives. It has to live if it's really opened. You know, we have this thing, you know, is the seventh seal open? If it's open, if it's not, and people say it is, and some people say it isn't. The seventh seal really is open, it's when it manifests itself. And once you see it manifesting, then how can you sit there and say, well, it's not open? You say, what do you mean manifested? What is the seventh seal? Everyone knows it. It's Christ. What is Christ? It's the word for your day made manifest. It's just that simple, brother and sister. All of Samson's big bulk stood there, but where's the power of the Lord? Yes, the denominational system won't vindicate the word of the Lord. If it doesn't vindicate it, it's a denominational system. If all you can do is point back to yesterday, what God did, what God did, what God did, then it's not being vindicated for today. And denominations can't do that. So if what you believe isn't vindicating the word for the day, you're a denominational believer. Don't care what you call yourself. It's not having God's desired effect, then you're a backslid. I just feel to just make that point again. If you've already got it, just forgive me. Look, you come to this church and you listen to Brother Jerry preach, listen to me preach, whoever comes, and you say amen. And sometimes you like it, sometimes you don't. And you go out and you live your life, you come to church and you live your life, you come to church. Brother and sister, if the word is not having the effect to produce Christ, you are backslid. I don't care how holy you're living. You are backslid. God's saying, what's wrong with you? Why are you not up here with everybody else? Why are you not going on with the word like everybody else? Now, don't get me wrong. You might be going through a valley and you're not backslid at all. You might be going through a valley where you can't pray, where your prayer gets above your head, it seems. You might not have, can't get a hold of God. You can't get an anointing. You can't hardly hear anything, and you're just struggling, and this is hitting you, and that's hitting you. I ain't talk about that because you're still fighting. You're still going on. I'm talking about the people who aren't going on, who just want to be comfortable. So you ignore this, you ignore that. Well, I know Brother Phil, he's up there again, but you know I don't have to listen to him. I just listen to Brother Jerry. Brother Jerry preached, well, I don't have to listen to that because that doesn't really apply to me. That's what I'm talking about. Let me move on. Notice, it was by his believers that he proves his word by. He can only prove his words not by unbelievers. It's only by the believers that he can prove his word. No matter how much the rest of them claim to be, oh, I believe, brother. See, if you do, God will prove it so, because we look and see the other. So no matter how much you call yourself a message believer, if God is not proving his word through you, you're not. This is why it's personal. You have to know within yourself. Am I meeting the challenge of today, or have I been derailed by some soft living? Have I been derailed by being influenced by all these people who are all focused on themselves, lovers of themselves? Have I kept away from that influence? Have I been seduced by religious devils? What is Satan attacking you with? Now, I tell you what, right now, I don't believe any of you have. I don't believe any of us have, because we keep coming to church and the word keeps us pure and keeps us clean and keeps us going forward. But I can promise you, you're being influenced by these that are trying to get you. What is it that tries to get you? I'll tell you, I'll just be honest. I'll tell you what gets me, tries to get me sometimes, is you know what? You say, you're at home, you're by yourself, nothing around. Why don't you just relax. You don't need to pray. You don't need to study tonight. Go read a book. Go watch a movie. Go hang out. Do whatever. Got so much time. Most of you don't have that problem. Most of you don't have lots of time to do whatever you want to do, because you got families and stuff like that. They take up your time. That's something that I have to be careful. Because it's so easy just to fritter away a whole evening. Like 6 hours later, it's time for bed. It's like, man, what a waste of time. He has to have believers to prove his word is true. There has to be a proof today. Every age, there has to be a proof. God's word is true, and he only can do that through believers. It has to be the word manifest in flesh. He said, I want you to notice, he does that in every age, he does it every time by the same method. He has to take believers, and then in order to have believers to meet the word, he's got to predestinate it to that age. He's got to predestinate this thing to be there to meet the challenge of the age. When he says he's got to predestinate this thing to be there to meet the challenge of the age, what's he talking about? You. Believers. He has to predestinate believers to be there to meet the challenge of the age. He knows who the believers are. And so he makes sure, I'm going to have these believers here in this age, because they are the ones who are going to believe. They're not going to be deceived. They're going to be the ones to meet the challenge for that age. That's why he chose you personally. You ain't here haphazard. You didn't just happen to walk into the message church one night. He knew that there is a seed in your heart. He knew that you were going to be a believer who is going to believe the message of this age, that he could use you to meet the challenge. He picked your brothers to be eaten by lions and to be burned at the stake.
He picked others for different reasons. Did this sister do this and that? But he chose you for this age. Why? Because he has confidence. He knows that you have what it takes to meet the challenge of the age. You know one thing I'm getting more convinced of all the time? The people who can meet the challenge for the age is those people who can just simply get humble enough to believe God in spite of all their stuff, because they're going to sit there and their word's going to come and it's going to thrash them and it's going to expose their idols and it's going to beat them and it's going to chop them and it's going to mold them, and you're the ones who will just sit there and let it happen. Feel like a hero? I don't. And that's good. Why? Because you got to get to a point where you're willing to surrender everything. This age, you have to give up everything, much more than in other ages sometimes. Back in the man age, you could get there, you're smart, you're intellect, you could figure this out, you believe what the preacher preaching, and it's still the same Holy Spirit, brother and sister, but brother and sister, this age, you got to get rid of all that. Boastful. Isn't that one of the things? Boastful. How many people are boastful around this message? Brother Branham said this, and brother, what are they doing? They're showing how much they know. But what Brother Branham said. It is just razor thin, brother and sister. You got to get rid of all the idols. He's got to predestinate this thing to be there to meet the challenge of the age. He says, did you get it? Did you feel it? Do you see it? Do you understand? That's what's happening today. He predestinated this by his foreknowledge. When he predestinated in Malachi 4, it's got to happen. When he come over and predestinate anything to happen in his word, he has to prove his word to be so. When he predestinates anything to happen and says it will happen, he knows that seed will be there just at that time. He predestinated a bride. She's going to be there. Going to be a rapture. She's going to be there. He predestinated by his foreknowledge, so there's nothing going to stop it. He placed you here because he needs you to meet the challenge today. He's going to mold the character into you to do it. And he put you here because you are going to be willing to sit there and be molded to that character, that he's going to look at you and say, oh my goodness, it's the most beautiful woman I ever saw. She's a perfect bride. What makes her perfect? Because she shed all her man-made ideas and thoughts and religion and just taken simply my word. And that's the only thing that can meet the challenge of today. That's the only thing that's going to take a rapture. That's the only thing that's not going to be deceived. When you let the word cut and slice the two-edged sword and get rid of all your self. That's what it's going to take, brother and sister. And that's why we come here on a cold Thursday night where people are tired and coughing and sore and just like struggling to stay awake. But you come anyways. Why? Because there's something inside you that draws you here. There's something inside that you don't control. There's something inside that says there's a thirst, there's a hunger. I want more of God. And if this is what it takes to get that, I'm going to be there. The challenge, brother and sister. I have one more quote. And I think we'll be done. It's going to be a short night tonight. Now, aren't you glad you came? Talking about going, talk about people running with the word. Let me see how to introduce this. He brings us out to Paul Revere. He said, Paul Revere, he had a message. And he had to wait until he had the proper message before he could go. He said, no matter if Paul Revere would have got on the horse and beat him and whipped him and ran through the countryside, if he didn't have a message, it would have done no good. He said, that's what's wrong with so many of our churches, is because we're running without a message. That's what happened with Billy Graham. He talks about this. I'm just going to, just to save time, it's a long quote. He said that's what happened with Billy Graham is he went out and he was running and he had all, everything down. But when it came time to manifest the message of the hour, he couldn't do it. He didn't have the message. The Mohammedan backed him down. And brother and sister, when we are message believers and we go running, we take the message around the world. But when all we have is just the letter of the message, we're running without the message. We get there, we have nothing to say. All I can do is say, look what he did yesterday. He said, well, that's the message. Let me ask you this. When the Baptists run and they got what they have, and you say, do they have the message? Yeah or no? Why? Because they have yesterday's message. They have way back there when what they had was the truth, but they stopped going forward. And so they run, and when they get there, they don't have today's message. And when the message believer, when they get there, all they can do is point what God did through Brother Branham. They do not have the message. There is no substance to it. You have to have what God is doing now. The message is the Word made flesh today. What God is, what is happening now. You can't go back to the second pull for that, brother and sister. You can't go back to say, well, God is in a mess because we have all kinds of mighty signs and wonders going on. That's the Bible says that's how Satan deceives the whole world with the signs and wonders and miracles he can do. So when you go to talk to someone, when you want to tell someone about what you believe, someone asks, well, what do you believe? Do you run? Do you have something to tell them? Or do you have an empty message? What can you point at? What can you say this is what God is doing? What can you have to make them thirst for what you want? What can you tell? What do you tell them? Well, I go to this church and we're holiness. And we, you know, our sister dressed this way. And we believe the prophet. And oh my goodness, just shut up. Just stop. Who wants that? The world is thirsting for the love of God. The world is thirsting for a reality. I like what last Sunday David out in the park like he was saying something. I don't have this exactly right. But he came up and gave the testimony about it, right? You know, the person was talking about, he said, and I can't remember what he said, but basically he said, but what about Christ? What about being born again? What about this? And the guy just backs off. Why? Because he had something for real. I didn't say they're going to like what you say. But at least you have something to say. Are you willing to say it anyways? The world ain't going to like what you say. If they like what you say, you ain't saying the truth. Because the world is an enemy against it. But now if there's someone out there who's predestinated, they're going to like what you have to say. There ain't very many of them left, I don't think. Brother and sister, just if you go out there and you just take, well, this is what God did in the past, you're running without a message. You're just another denominational Christian, name only. You got to know what you're talking about. You got to have something real. You want to meet the challenge of the day? You have to have a reality in your heart that you know that you are destinated by God, that you are chosen, that he has called you, you've accepted it, you believe it, and you're going on. How do I get there, brother? You just keep doing what you're doing. If you're doing it right, go to church, believe what you hear, accept it, listen for the voice of God, and pray and get it, you know. It's between you and God. What's it going to take for you? That's between you and God. There's no formula. There is a formula. Repent and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. If you do that, you're going to get it. Well, I know a lot of message believers did that. They don't get the Holy Ghost. They didn't do it. No? What's happened? They did everything except for the repent part. They didn't believe all the way to get it. They went a certain way, and it didn't happen right away, so they quit. Or they accepted a substitute. But that's between you and God, how that's going to work out. It's an individual walk, individual affair. And he reveals to you. When he reveals it, and it's a real revelation, it anchors in your heart, that will stay. That's the rock.
you're good to go to the next battle. And you go to the next battle. And the next battle. And that's what we have here in this last time, brother, sister. Satan's going around. He's doing all he can to destroy us. He's using our families. He's using our coworkers. He's using church. He's using anything he can to destroy you, to weaken you, so you can't meet the challenge. So you don't have faith. How do you get up in the morning? You have faith to do anything. It's like, I don't even feel like praying. I don't feel like going to church. I don't feel like doing this. I don't want to. It's a constant battle. Constant battle. I was a long, long time ago, just new to the message, and I was walking, a couple ministers and I were walking down the road doing something, and I mentioned something about this. You know, doing this, I was saying, boy, you know, this, it's just going to be, you know, I don't want to do this or whatever we're talking about, because it's just going to be constant battle. You know, you just, how do you overcome that? And both of them looked at me like, that's just part of it. You're just going to fight that battle. That's like, what are you crying about? It's like, do you want to fight? Are you in a war or not? Are you willing to go forward? Do you want to sit there and whine about, because this battle is going to be hard for you to face? Well, I didn't want to fight that battle. They were right. The rest of my life. Just like all of you, we're going to fight battles the rest of our life. There's going to be things we're going to fight. The brother and sister, you're never going to walk away and say, I finally completely overcome everything. It don't happen. If that's what you're looking for, find another church. Find another pastor, because you're not going to find that here. Satan hates us too much. You want to be part of this assembly? Just get ready to fight battles. He's going to do all he can to destroy us. He's going to use you if he can. He's going to use me if he can. He's going to do what he can to destroy us. Because he's scared of us. He said, I have fear, Brother Phil. Let me tell you something. I'm going to quit here in a second. Okay. All the fears you have, think what you might be afraid of. Doesn't amount to a hill of beans compared to the devil's fears, the way they fear you. They're terrified of you. Well, I don't know about that. Well, then you don't believe the prophet. You put your feet down on the floor in the morning, you wake up, and the devil's going, oh, no, here he comes again. Here she comes again. I wish she'd have just slept for 24 hours. I'm tired of her. She's always kicking us around. He's always defeating us. And Satan sends us back there again, and we defeat it again. We have to go back there again, defeat it again. Some of you don't believe that. You say, ain't no devil afraid of me. Well, they will be. If they ain't now, they're going to be. You keep going. You keep believing, you keep pressing on, you keep having Christ formed in you, and they will be terrified of you, because they know the more Christ they see in you, the closer their end is. That's why they're trying to stop it, brother and sister. If they can stop us, they don't have to reach an end. But if they can't stop us, they're going to come to an end. Amen. Meet the challenge, brother and sister. How do I do it? It sounds so scary. It's not scary. It's terrifying. It is. I'm not going to sit up here. Boy, I just can't wait to meet the next devil. Well, I can. But that's just a battle, brother and sister. Let's go and fight. Let's keep going. Let's keep moving on. You can come out on a cold Thursday night when you're tired from work and sit here and fight sleep and listen to this. You got what it takes. You're going to make it. Just keep pressing. Amen. Let's stand. Lord Jesus, we just thank you for encouraging us tonight. Appreciate you coming, Lord, and just taking your word and make it more real to us. And we pray, Lord Jesus, that we would be found worthy, Lord, that you would be pleased, Lord, to come down and just continue to reveal yourself and walk with us and talk with us and change us more, but from glory to glory into your image, Lord. We thank you for your goodness and mercy. We thank you for healing us. We thank you for all these things that you do, the way you bless us, Lord. And
Father, we just want to keep pressing on it. Just reveal yourself more to us, Lord, that we can love you more. That we, to all our whole heart's desire, Lord, all we do is just we want to see you. We want to love you. We ask that you do this, Lord, according to your word. Amen. Amen. Let's sing that little chorus. I like it so much. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory.